The volcanic islands that make up Cabo Verde were uninhabited when they were discovered, populated with slaves by their colonizers, and they had to start all over again when they were finally liberated. They had a late start to football, of course, but with an international diaspora to pull from and a visionary head coach to tie everything together, they've pulled off the unthinkable while other more classic powers from Africa had failed to qualify for the World Cup. The Blue Sharks will be taking part in this summer's tournament, but they are more than just a novelty, more than just a "I can't believe how small that country is" factoid. They bring with them a real ability to shock opponents and punch above their weight. Doing that on the biggest stage, that's another level. Guys, welcome to Curiosity's Cabo Verde, our pre-tournament series that dives into the countries that you may be curious about from this tournament, their brief history as a nation, how that affected their football history, and their journey to World Cup qualification. These stories deserve to be told, so let's go. Cape Verde, known officially as Cabo Verde, is made up of 10 islands in the Atlantic Ocean, about 500 miles off of the coast of Senegal. The archipelago was discovered late in the 15th century by explorers from Portugal and the Republic of Genoa, and the islands were in fact uninhabited at the time, as I said earlier. The earliest inhabitants were slaves from the nearest coasts of Africa, as the islands became a hub for the Atlantic slave trade and a Portuguese colony for centuries. But as the centuries rolled on, famine, droughts, poverty on the islands forced many to emigrate away from Cabo Verde, ensuring that there was always a large Cabo Verde diaspora. For those who stayed, they were introduced to football in the 1910s, at least if they lived on the island of São Vicente in the city of Mindelo, where there was plenty of Portuguese and British influence. As football grew in popularity, the very first football club in Cabo Verde was founded in 1919. CS Mindelense was born on the island of São Vicente. The club was made official in 1922 and was followed by Sporting Club de Praia on the island of Santiago as football spread from island to island. Stadiums were erected in the 1930s and unofficial competitions were organized around that time as well, with Mindelense winning the first regional title in 1938. Still a colony at this time, in the 1950s, things kicked off officially with an all-island championship in Cabo Verde. Académica do Mindelo was winning titles, as were the legends, Mindelense. In fact, they were the only club from Cabo Verde that ever competed in one of their colonizers' competitions. They played in the Taça de Portugal on two occasions, in 1966 and 71. They received the fewest opportunities to play in Portuguese competitions as they had a marginalized position in Portugal's empire compared to other territories. And speaking of which, in the 1950s, you saw Cabo Verde and Portuguese Guinea, as it was known at the time, begin to fight for their independence, with leaders such as Amilcar Cabral leading the way. Though he was assassinated in 1973, his mark was made. Thanks to the Carnation Revolution in Lisbon in 1974, Portugal's Estado Novo regime was toppled, and with it, the path to Portugal's decolonization was opened. On July 5th, 1975, Cabo Verde declared their independence. With Cabo Verde becoming an independent nation, this meant breaking away from Portugal at a footballing level as well. The national championship ran under a similar structure, with, you guessed it, the legends, Mindelense, winning the first national championship title post-independence. In 1978, the Cabo Verde national team played their first ever match, with their opponent being Guinea, a 1-0 loss at a tournament that was being held by another former Portuguese colony, Guinea-Bissau, formerly Portuguese Guinea. A few days later, they played Guinea-Bissau and lost 2-0 once again. Beyond results, you can imagine the joy that these athletes must have felt. They were representing their countries for the first time ever after centuries of being colonies. The Cabo Verde Football Federation was finally established in 1982, joining the CAF in that same year and joining FIFA in 1986. They were still very much sorting themselves out at this time, playing friendlies and in friendly tournaments, but their first official competition came in the 1992 AFCON qualifiers, but it would be many years before they would manage to qualify. Similar story with the FIFA World Cup. Cabo Verde would take part in their first World Cup qualifiers for the 2002 tournament held in South Korea and Japan, but crashed out in the very first round of World Cup qualifying. Now, something that we've seen happen with other countries, some of which putting it to great effect in order to qualify for the 2026 World Cup, is nations looking beyond their borders and leaning upon their diaspora to build out a stronger team, looking to their communities living abroad. And through the years, if they could have convinced some of these players, Cabo Verde would have had some great players, players you've certainly heard of with Cabo Verdean heritage. Patrick Vieira, for one. Nani, Eliseu, Rolando, and Manuel Fernandes, all of whom chose to represent Portugal. Gelson Fernandes of Switzerland, yes, moved from Cabo Verde when he was five and is the cousin of Manuel Fernandes. The father of Henrik Larsson is named Francisco de Rocha. He's from Cabo Verde. In fact, in May of 2010, Cabo Verde went to Portugal to play a friendly against the Portuguese national team in Covilha. The match ended 0-0, a result that meant so much to Cabo Verde. A draw may as well be a victory over their former colonizers, especially when you look at the starting 11 for Portugal. They were warming up for the 2010 World Cup, so you had Ronaldo, Nani, Deco, Fabio Contrão, Ricardo Carvalho, Bruno Alves, Paulo Ferreira, a full-strength Portugal on show. And they still got a result. With Cabo Verde growing in strength year upon year, that crystallized with 2013 AFCON qualifying. Qualifying had a preliminary round, which Cabo Verde didn't take part in, then the first round, in which Cabo Verde smashed Madagascar 7-1, the most lopsided result of the entire round. However, in the second round, which was the final round of qualifying, the 30 teams were split into two pots, with pot one being the seeded teams. Cabo Verde was not a seeded team and were handed a huge challenge. If they wanted to qualify for their first AFCON, they'd have to get past Cameroon, the 2008 runners-up. The first match was played in Praia, Cabo Verde, and with a goal in each half, Cabo Verde won the first leg 2-0. A 2-0 lead came with them to Yaoundé for the second leg 1 month later, and they were in dreamland after 12 minutes when Heldon Nook scored to make it 3-0 on aggregate. Now, Cameroon pushed back and scared them, but Cabo Verde won 3-2, sending them to their first ever major tournament, the 2013 African Cup of Nations. They were drawn into Group A with the host South Africa, Morocco, and Angola, another former Portuguese colony. They drew the first two matches, and so it all came down to that final match day against Angola. Angola took a 33rd minute lead, but in the 81st minute, Varela equalized. 10 minutes after that, Heldon Nook put Cabo Verde ahead and into the quarterfinals in their first ever major tournament. That would be the end of their run, though, as Ghana beat them 2-0. Now, they wouldn't make it as far in the 2015 AFCON, but their qualification alone meant that Cabo Verde had raised expectations. They had shown that they were at least capable of making it to play with Africa's elites, punching above their weight. Such will be the trend. January 2020, and Cabo Verde appoint a new head coach, Bubista. You probably know the name now, given what they've achieved, but he was a former Cabo Verde national team player and captain. He brought a new approach to football for Cabo Verde, focusing more on defensive compactness, tactical discipline, prioritizing counter-attacking football, thanks to the pace that they have on the wings. In essence, make yourself really difficult to break down, and then choose your moments to try and score. After a dip in form and missing the 2017 and 2019 AFCONs, Bubista and the Blue Sharks qualified for the 2021 tournament in Cameroon, and they managed to make it out of the group stage. Not bad for only working with their new coach and style of play for a year, but they fell to the eventual champions, Senegal, in the round of 16, 2-0. But hey, again, this is Cabo Verde showing that they are trending in the right direction. And while they would miss out on the 2022 World Cup, the 2023 AFCON was a special tournament for them. Now, this is where Cabo Verde really became the modern-day Cabo Verde under Bubista, where people started noticing, showing that they are capable of being a tournament team. Now, I say that with an asterisk, as they failed to qualify for the 2025 AFCON. Whoops. But this is 2023 we're talking about. In a group alongside Egypt, Ghana, and Mozambique, they first took on Ghana, thanks to a 92nd-minute winner from Rodrigues. They set themselves up well for their second match against Mozambique. They won that one comfortably, 3-0, with Bebe getting on the score sheet that time. This meant that they were through no matter what happened in the final match against Egypt. But just to maintain standards, they clawed out a 2-2 draw thanks to a 99th minute equalizer from Teixeira. Wild match. In the round of 16, they had Mauritania, and captain Ryan Mendes converted a penalty to give Cabo Verde their first ever win in the knockout rounds of a major tournament. They'd have the difficult task of taking on a very good South Africa next. South Africa were fresh off of knocking out Morocco with a 2-0 win, and Morocco were fresh off of that 2022 World Cup run, but Cabo Verde fought all the way, and in the shootout, they lost 2-1, with Ronwin Williams of South Africa making not one, not two, or three, but four saves. Absolute heroics. With performances like these, and knowing that the 2026 World Cup would be expanded to 48 teams, Cabo Verde began dreaming. Ranked 13th in Africa at the beginning of the 2026 World Cup qualifiers, Cabo Verde were grouped alongside Cameroon, the African team that had made the World Cup the most, Libya, Mauritius, Angola, and Eswatini. They started with a win and a draw, only to lose 4-1 away to Cameroon, no matter though, as Bubisita and the Blue Sharks would go on a 5-match winning run, including defeating Cameroon and Cabo Verde. They then drew Libya and secured qualification with a 3-0 win over Eswatini at the Estadio Nacional de Cabo Verde, and in doing so, they topped Group D with 23 points and became the smallest nation to ever qualify for the World Cup by landmass and second smallest nation by population. That is, until Curaçao qualified later and bumped them down to third behind Iceland. Symbolically, their first ever World Cup qualification came during the 50th year of Cabo Verde's independence, and they did it by massive outreach to their diaspora. One of such players provides a remarkable story, as the Cabo Verde Football Federation had messaged Roberto Pico Lopes, an Irishman with Cabo Verdean heritage, on LinkedIn to invite him to play for the national team. And there are plenty of others, Dylan Livramento and Jamiro Montero, born in the Netherlands, Logan Costa and Steven Moreira, both born in France. Bubisita used every contact he had and apparently every social media platform to find anyone who would be willing to represent the country of their heritage. And some of them answered the call. Now they have an unbelievably difficult task ahead of them at the World Cup, as they were drawn into Group H alongside Spain, Uruguay, and Saudi Arabia. Their chances of advancing aren't very high, but if they have taught us anything, it's that they are always capable of punching above their weight. So, what do you think? Will Cabo Verde provide any surprises at this tournament? Will Bubisita and the boys pull some unbelievable results out of the bag once again? We shall soon see, right? Guys, thanks as always for joining me for these videos. These curiosity videos are really fun to produce. Really love getting into the history a bit for you. Make sure you subscribe, because we'll have plenty more World Cup coverage for you all month long until the end of the tournament. We have pre-tournament as well. Daily videos during the tournament. Everything. All right? Thanks, guys. See you soon.